Amen. Genesis chapter 6, verse 22. Genesis chapter 6, verse 22. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. You can be seated. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Noah did everything God commanded him to do. That is a testimony. Because God had commissioned Noah to embark on an endeavor that had never been attempted before. You ever tried to do something that you've never did before? Normally what you do is try to find somebody that knows a little bit about it. How many people in here use YouTube? Yeah. I mean, when you're looking for anything, how to change a ball joint on a 1992 Ford Ranger, it's on there. It is on there. And so you find somebody that has been there before. You try to find somebody that knows something about the topic. If you have a friend that knows, that can give you some instruction, you go to them. If you've got a boss or somebody that you think would know, the problem is here in this situation is God is asking Noah to do something that's never been done before. He can't go to the library and get a book. He can't find the Navy's 30 steps to building a massive battleship. None of those exist at this time. He can't ask for the highlights on how to structure this or how to build it. There's no how to build ship for dummies books. It's not been written yet. So what he had to do was he couldn't lean on his peers, but what he had to do was listen to God. He had to get his instruction from God. Noah did well with this because the Bible says, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. As strenuous and as challenging as it was, we went to the Ark in Kentucky a few weeks back. And has anybody ever been there? Raise your hand if you've ever been there. If you've not been there, Take a minute, go down there and look at it. This was a massive structure that a man and his sons built through the direction of God. No contractors, no subcontractors, no blueprints, just doing what God told them to do. And to those of us that know the story, if you've read the story, as strenuous as it was to build this ark, it was well worth the effort that he put into it. Can you say amen? Because without the ark, Noah and his family are lost. Without the ark, as a matter of fact, I can appreciate the fact that Noah built that ark because it wasn't just good for Noah and it wasn't just good for his family, but the truth is it was good for all humankind. Because without the ark, none of us are sitting here today. But because one man obeyed God and did what God told him to do, we are sitting here right now. Teaching point number one I want to take from this verse is this. The best life you can live is a life directed by God. Let me say that again. Living a life directed by God means you got to take your direction from God. Too many times we lean on our peers or we lean on somebody that's been through kind of what we're going through before. But I'm going to tell you this, if we're really going to be directed by God, we have to have an ear that can hear what God is saying to us in the hour that we live. How important is it to hear from God? Proverbs 3 verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. How many people in here have a habit of leaning on your own understanding? I can get this done. Nolan, I'll figure it out. I'm sure that I'll find a way, and if that don't work, I'll try something else. He said, don't even lean on any of your understanding. He said, put your trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Verse 6 says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We need somebody to direct our path in the hour that we live, and it must be Almighty God. We need somebody to lead us through the valley, and it must be Almighty God. My understanding won't get me there. My intellect won't get me there. It must be the voice of God. We've got to be able to hear from God as Noah did. Revelation 2 and 7 says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Revelation 2 and 11 says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Revelation 2 and 17 says, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Revelation 2 and 29, he that hath an ear, 3 and 6, he that hath an ear, 3 and 13, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit, 3 and 22, he that hath an ear, let him hear. I think the Bible is trying to get something. God is trying to implant this into our spirit. We've got to have an ear open to the things of God. And the only way to have our ear open to the things of God is to have our ear closed to the things of this world. Can you say amen? I've got to be able to hear from God. Noah lived his life directed by God. There was nobody around him to talk to and give him advice but God. What a place to be in. God was about to do something that he had never done before. And Noah was there as the vessel that God would use to do it. So he had to be sensitive to the voice of God. If Noah's pattern holds true, God's directive will move us out of a life of comfort and ease and into a life of faith and effort. I want to say that again. If Noah's pattern holds true, God's going to move us out of a life of comfort and ease and move us into the direction of faith and effort. Let me say it like this. Nothing for the kingdom is going to get done unless somebody allows God to do it through them. And that's going to take faith and effort. We're all waiting on somebody else to do it. But God is waiting on you to be the child of God that he designed you to be. The whole creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. He's waiting on us. So we got to be able to hear it. How do you hear God, preacher? You listen. Because God will speak if we'll listen. But too many times we have other things that are taking the place of God's voice. And we need to open up that avenue to where God can speak. Teaching point number 2, living a God-directed life will always be counter-cultural. I want this to sink in. If you love Jesus, you're not going to be popular in this world. You say, oh, no, preacher. I can do both. I can do both. You can't do both. Jesus said, don't worry if they hate you because they hated me. If people of this world don't dislike your religion, you're doing it wrong. Let me say that again. The world doesn't like Jesus. You say, oh, yeah, no, they like a version of Jesus, but they don't like the real Jesus. How do you know? Because the Bible says they hated him. You know why they hated him? Because he told them that the deeds that they did were evil. As soon as you tell a person who is lost in sin that what they are doing is evil because Jesus said what they are doing is evil, they're going to have a problem with you. But we've got a gospel now that accepts everything and God winks at everything. But let me tell you about the real Jesus. The real Jesus loves you, but he hates sin. The real Jesus wants to save you, but he hates wickedness. I seen a bumper sticker one time that said, I'm a Democrat and a Christian. Who are you trying to convince? I'm this and I'm a Christian. I'm this and I'm a Christian. I'm that and I'm a Christian. If the Word of God doesn't line up with your life, you're not a Christian. Oh, let me say it again. If your life doesn't line up with God's Word, you're not a Christian. Because we must come by and through Jesus Christ. Let me say it like this. If Jesus said it's wrong, it's wrong. I don't care how many parades we have, it's wrong. If Jesus said it's wrong, I don't care what Hollywood thinks about it, it's still wrong. You say, oh, preacher, why are you doing that? I'm going to tell you why. Because I ask myself as I'm reading about Noah, did he ever get tired? Did he ever feel pressure to give in to the culture? Did he ever just want to not be the odd man out? Everybody's going about their life. And Noah is taking gopher wood and building an ark. Everybody else is going along. And I wonder if he ever just wanted to be accepted by his neighbors and just fit in. I think I'm safe to say he's human. Nobody wants to be a weirdo. You do. You're doing a good job. I'm kidding. Nobody wants to be on the outside and everybody wondering what's wrong with him. Everybody wants to be loved and kind of fit into some kind of group, don't you? But Noah is out there all by himself, building an ark, and it had never rained. Imagine, what are you doing? God told me to do this. What? God laid it on my heart to build this, to build a boat. Why a boat? Oh, it's going to rain. It's going to rain. Watch this. The days of Noah were extremely wicked. Genesis 6, 11 and 12. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. These people were so self-absorbed that the New Testament mentions them like this, Luke 17. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, and were given in marriage. They're going on with life as normal, unconcerned about the message of the day. The message of the day is God is sending judgment upon the earth. And the earth was so self-absorbed, they wouldn't hear the sermon. And they were going about life like every day until Noah entered into the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. We major on this point. We talk about this a lot, Cindy. We say, it's amazing how fast man went from Eden to evil. Amen? In relationship with God to complete rebellion. From chapter 1 in Genesis being put and created to chapter 6, God is destroying all mankind. In just a few chapters, Kevin, man fell apart, and we major on that theme, how man could, his thoughts became evil continually. I don't want to major on that theme today. I want to major on this theme, Genesis 6 and 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. in the middle of all this evil, I don't want to talk about the evil. I want to talk about in the middle of that culture, in the middle of that pressure, in the middle of everything that was going on around him, Noah walked with God. It didn't matter what society was doing. It didn't matter what the pressure of the day was doing. It didn't matter what the world was saying. What mattered was Noah had a walk with God. 2 Peter 2 and 5. It spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. I want to tell you this real quick. Holding on to God's truth will not make you popular with people that hate God's truth. I can't be holding on to the world and holding on to Jesus because they're going in opposite directions. But Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Noah, for 500 years, for 500 years, he's walking with God and obeying his voice no matter what the culture said. I want to set you at ease. I know what God has called me to do, and it's preach righteousness. It doesn't matter what the world may do, and no matter what the world may push against, what matters is God has called us to walk in righteousness. Let me explain to you what that righteousness is. My righteousness came by and through Jesus Christ. I've been washed in his blood. I've been raised up with him. I was buried with him, but I rose again with him. Now I walk in the newness of life. I am what I am by the grace of God, and he saved me. And because I'm saved, I want to align to his word. There is a new nature in me that I didn't have before. Can you say amen? I'm not who I used to be. Rebellious against the things of God. Rebellious by nature. Look at your neighbor and say, that he's talking about you too. Rebellious. Not willing to adhere to the voice of God. But now that we've been born again of the water and of the Spirit, and there is a new nature. Now there is a proclamation of righteousness, not only in us, but through us. What are you saying? I'm saying the ways of this world will lead to destruction. The same God that flooded the earth in the days of Noah will pour out his judgment again. It won't be with water, but it will be with fire next time. And I'm here to tell you, I've got a hiding place in Jesus that the judgment of God cannot touch me because the judgment of God has already covered me. I'm standing in him. He kept preaching righteousness. I don't know about you, but I feel like the world we live in is becoming more evil by the day. I don't know how you feel about it, but I think that abominable things are gaining traction more and more every day. Pull up to the ATM now. And on the screen it says, let's celebrate Pride Month. Do I get mad? I don't get mad. My heart breaks. Let me tell you why my heart breaks. We're celebrating people going to hell because they won't adhere to God's word. How can I ever celebrate that? How can I ever celebrate that fact? I can't. But I know a Jesus that has liberty. No matter what the issue is, he's able to liberate. I can't celebrate that, but I can keep celebrating the fact that Jesus is able to still save from the uttermost to the guttermost. It doesn't matter. He's able. How can we celebrate sin when we know the result of sin leads you to hell? What kind of person would I be to celebrate you as you're dying? No, it's a reminder to us who are believers to pray. Every time you pull up to the ATM, pray. Every time you see it, pray. Say, God, I know you're able, and I'm still going to preach righteousness because I know that you're able to liberate those that are bound because you liberated me. Oh. Teaching point number three, and I'm done. When you live a life directed by God, He works with you. Noah was a construction worker at best. He built a pretty impressive boat. But I got this idea he was not a zoologist. God said, build the boat. You build the boat. You preach righteousness. You tell people. And I'm sure he did what God designed him and called him to do. But then came time for the animals to get on the ark. If I'm Noah, you got to be wondering, how am I going to catch that eagle? Ham, can you catch an antelope? How fast are you, son? You got to wonder how all that's going to work out. God never told him to go after the eagle. God said, build the boat. Oh, I want you to hear me. Because here's what I do, Brother Eddie. I build the boat and I try to catch the eagle. Oh, yeah, we do. We want our kids saved. We want our lost loved ones saved. And we try to do all that. And what we do is we do what God told. And we try to add in what we think. And they come to family get-togethers. You're going to go to hell. God told you to build the boat. God told you to build the boat. Keep preaching righteousness. Don't worry about gathering them in. God will gather them in. You keep, look at the person beside you and say, stay in your lane. Just stay in your lane. If God told you to build the boat, and I guarantee you, God's going to work it all out. Oh, I'm telling you, He does it. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these other birds. He said, all these other things will be added to you. God's already worked it out. You just do what He told you to do. You don't. We try to make it happen, don't we? We try to manufacture it. I don't know about you, but I've been in church services. I don't know why, but the Spirit of God didn't seem to be nowhere in there. And somebody tried to manufacture it, and it made it worse. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Hey, let God be God. You just do what He told you to do. You come in, He said, hey, worship. When you worship, you don't have to make anything happen. Let the Spirit of God do His work. You just do what God told you to do. When you pray, you don't have to make it happen. You're calling on the one who's able to make it all happen. You're not talking to Trump. You're not talking to Bill Gates. You're talking to God. You're talking to the one who is able to speak it into existence. Do you know who you're talking to? Just stay in your lane and let God be God. He already has it worked out. God already thought it through. This is not in my notes, but this is teaching point number four. And I only had three. The directions were very detailed on the boat. Some people wonder why you're so narrow-minded. I'm going to tell you why I'm narrow-minded. Because I want to see God do something he's never done before. Are you with me? God gets detailed when he's getting ready to do something different. If I know you know how to do something, then I'm just going to let you go do it. But if it's something new that you've never done before, I got to be detailed. I'll never forget. I worked beside Brother Barry White for years. People would come in and they'd say, how do you lay this tile? He said the same spiel every time, but it was such detail. You mix the mortar to the consistency of peanut butter. You mix the grout to the consistency of mayonnaise. And I'm like, hey, he's putting this stuff in food terms. Where's the cherries? It was very detailed, his instruction. When I went in to get my stuff, he never told me how to lay tile because he knew I did it before. See, we got to stop trying to be carbon copies and get a hold of God and see what does he want to do in this day and this hour. Can I say it again? I don't want to be just another church down the road. I want to be somebody that's hearing from heaven and following the directions of God so that God can do a new thing that this area has never seen before. Because I don't know about you, if we truly are the rapture generation, then we got to get ready for something that has never happened before. But you know what? We get okay with church as usual. Come on, Josh. We get okay with status quo church. If you wasn't in Sunday school, I'm going to tell you what we talked about a little bit. We talked about people go to the doctor, and they prescribe you medicine, and they tell you to take it all, and you don't because you're hard-headed. Jack said it best. He said, we take it until we feel better, and then we put it up and save it for later. Yeah, that's true. Some of y'all go up there and look. You got amoxicillin laying around from 10 years ago. Clean that out. Clean that cabinet out. While you're at it, clean out that drawer in your kitchen that everybody has. What are you doing with hammers in your kitchen? Some of y'all are laughing because you got it. Screwdrivers right there under the microwave. What are you going to do with that? You can't. Never mind. Leave y'all alone. You know what we do? We come to church and we get here just enough to feel good. And then once we get to that feel good, we stop. As long as I feel better. Darren scared me to death one time about not taking all my antibiotics. He said, you know why they tell you to do that? I said, I have no idea. I don't. He said, because whatever that is in you, that bacteria that is sent to kill, if you don't take it all and kill it all the way, it builds up an immunity to that antibiotic. And before you know it, all these things have mutated to where there's nothing that can take it. I'm like, I'm going to eat them all. All 10 days of them, I'm taking them all. But it hurts my stomach. Eat yogurt. You didn't know you was coming here to get health benefits, did you? Here's the problem. When God's word prescribes something, you got to take it all until it kills what he wants to kill. Not until you feel good. Not just until it feels good, but you got to take it until it gets rid of what God's wanting it to get rid of. Can you say amen? Why? Because he's trying to make something out of you, but he's got to tear you down before he builds you up. And God wants to do a new thing. I don't want you leaving here today saying, just another church service. Now I want you to leave here saying, I'm going to take it all. I'm going to take all of God's word, and I want God to do something new through me. God can start it through you. He can start it today. What do you got to do? Hear him and obey him and stay in your lane. God called me to preach. He called me to preach. went to church and they tried to make me sing. I was forced into a choir. Tried to make me play instruments in case somebody wasn't there. I'm not a musician. I'm not a singer. I learned to stay in my lane. They're like, Chandler's not going to be there. Do you want to play the bass? No. With that little thing they got ticking in their ears now, I don't even know how they do it. Don't want no part of it. I'm going to stay in my lane. I want to do what God called me to do and let God show up and be God. But I got to challenge you to get in your lane. Do what God called you to do and let God be God. We got some people to pray for today. Dan, I'd like you to step up here and we're going to pray for your mom. We want you to stand in for your mom right now. Let's do this. His mom's in the hospital right now. Needs a touch from God. Amen. She needs a touch. Amen. Amen. Get ready. Get ready to stand in for her. Come on, Darren. Come on, Trina. Marvin, come on. Marvin's standing in for a friend of his that lost his 17-year-old daughter. Don's got surgery tomorrow. My dad's going to get his liver checked. Mom's going to stand in for him. Are you going to help us pray? Because here's what we're praying. Here's what we're praying. God, do something new. Do something great, God. Show up, show out, show off. As we're praying for these, if God's dealing with your heart on any level, if you're not a Christian, if you're not walking according to His Word, would you step out and begin that relationship with a conversation right now and say, God, I don't understand it all, but I want to do what you're asking me to do. If that's you, would you step out? Noah didn't understand it all, I'm sure. But he did what God was bidding him to do. If God's dealing with your heart, would you come and pray? We'll pray with you.